Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast. Yes, we are. Podcast that watches an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene just for you, listeners. I'm Anthony Desamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very special guest. She's back, but officially, like, our super guest.
Oh.
The very wonderful Stina Seek.
Oh, thank you.
Yay!
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We asked James and the other guys that were here before what were their Golden Girls background. I don't think we got to you, though.
Yeah. I do not think so.
So this is a great opportunity to ask you, Stina, what is your Golden Girls background? And how has Golden Girls shaped or destroyed your life?
Well, I would say that my Golden Girls experience was, I grew up without cable. And so whatever was on, be it Who's the Boss or ALF, like, it was just what was on. So, like, it's not like I chose Golden Girls any more than I chose Rescue 911 with Jim Shatner, but it was there. It was like this omnipresent thing. So I feel like my child, when I hear the song, I may not remember specific episodes in general, but I remember the experience of watching it. And today's episode, which we saw, is one I had actually seen as a malleable little being.
I saw, like, it just form for you.
Yes.
You're just like, this is it. Like, I watched this.
I love your idea that, like, back in the 80s and the early 90s, TV just happened to you.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid.
There's not a choice.
Yeah.
It was just there. It was amazing.
These kids today, you have a whole selection of TV. And, like, honestly, like, we watch, that's pretty much the popularity of Coach. It just happened. It was on.
You are like all the time.
Craig T. Nelson. All right.
Sure. I won't fight that.
Yeah.
Seinfeld happened to me. Frasier happened to me. Mm-hmm. Cheers happened to me. I Love Lucy. It was just there. And
Caroline in the City happened to me.
If you had to choose it, it might have been a much different outcome, right?
Like today, like now we're older, we're adults, where we can choose what we watch. And before then, no.
God damn it, I can choose what I watch.
I can choose what I watch. So we chose to watch this episode, season 3, episode 11, titled Three on the Couch. Yeah, original air date was December 5th, 1987. Mm. So 28 years ago. Today!
What?
It's the anniversary of this episode, guys. And it's a psychiatric episode of the Golden Girls. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to do a brief synopsis of what we watched.
I'm going to keep this real short. I'm just going to say that the ladies have been fighting a lot. And they decided to go see a therapist.
Bitches be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And they go, and it doesn't help them, but it happens. And it's fun. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
So it's sort of a fake recap episode where they've done these before. And I think this is the best one they've intertwined because it actually had something to do with plot. But they do these, like, ever since season 2, they've been doing these recap episodes where they do flashbacks, but they're not really recap. They're fake. They just recorded them for that episode, which I enjoy more because recap episodes just suck, you know, personally for me. We go scene by scene, mm-hmm. as usual, and we start off with the Golden Girl. It's a very rare beginning establishing shot. It's always the house. This one, a building, an edifice outside, right? And so
a business park.
Holy shit.
Is that man. Okay, let's stop this for a second. I don't know what's going on. Oh, wait.
Okay.
All right. Taken care of.
Way to go. Congratulations.
I'm showing. It's fine.
Yay. Wow. Oh, did we Oh yeah, we were screaming. So
yeah, right.
That like the wavelengths are crazy. Okay. Okay. Oh, now they're really big. Okay. All right. Are we good? We good? Wavelengths. Okay. All right. We'll cut that out. Or leave it in.
I don't know. Everyone needs to hear this delightful car horn. I probably need to extract it for police evidence in case my car really is stolen.
Jeff is here. I don't think.
Probably, yeah, they probably stole Jeff's car.
They stole Jeff's car.
Yeah.
Do you want to go check on it?
You know, my cars are both in the garage.
Okay.
So if someone has gotten in my garage, they get to keep my car.
That's just their prize.
And if it's my car, I'd be shocked that it has an alarm. The first time I heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My car, no alarm. 97 Nissan Sentras. No.
Ooh.
No one's stealing those.
No, you. mine's one of the ones where you have to have the key inside. It's like a remote start.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're good. You're good.
I'm not worried. If they know how to figure that out, they get to keep the car.
Yeah, right. More power to you.
They engineered away. Okay, so they go. Okay, so it takes place. The first scene in the therapist's office. They call it the center, which is weird because that's where Rose works, as she mentioned later in the episode. Her boss harassing her, the center. And so I was like, okay, do you work there, Rose? So they come in and they're bickering, like children, just arguing about whose name the appointment is under. And I was just like, it's under the person who called. Like, this is not like, I didn't see how this was an issue. Like, it was just like, fighting for the sake of fighting, right?
And do you really want a paper trail?
Yeah.
Saying that you called this meeting? Like, no, please put it under Blanche's name, whatever.
Yeah, put it under Blanche's.
Like, well, you can pay for it.
Put it under Rose's name. She has no idea what's going on. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe she gets a discount. She works there. Yeah.
Maybe she gets a employee discount.
Yeah. Or put on 10% Trader Joe's discount.
Oh man. This secretary has no lines. The bickering is that intense that she can't even get a word in. And
her lines are just like confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was,
and rightfully so.
Just act confused were her lines. And so the doctor is Dr. Ashley and
that guy.
Yeah. Just like he is just the worst doctor ever. Oh my god. Blew my mind that this guy was in business, whatever. I think he just wanted to, like, end this so he can fuck that secretary. I just, just, like, get it over with. Did not want to mess with these ladies. And so he invites them all in. And right off the gate, Blanche, like, hits on him. And she's like, by the way, I'm double jointed. Like,
I feel like those things you say are just, like, they're just like almost like sexy Tourette's. Like she says that to everybody.
Sexy
like,
Tourette's.
Like
it's Lorette's.
She's like, I'm not wearing any underwear. No man, you know, I'm a widow. No man would leave me unless he had to. Like that's just like what she says to
any man.
Like any man that crosses her path.
Yeah.
If you come within 10 feet of her and she just into like triggers
her into her orbit.
Yeah.
She has a dick dar.
Well, and I mean, not to be mean, but also like, I feel like every second ad I see is for like some sort of bladder incontinent thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're like a woman in your late 50s, mid 50s, the idea they're not wearing any underwear, is that really a bonus? Like is that really like a draw? Like that just seems like it seems like a safety hazard.
She's not wearing underwear. She could poop her pants at any minute. That is like a risk.
I mean, depending on what you're into, that could be great.
Well, exactly.
Maybe
exactly.
She's wearing a diaper. That's not underwear. Is diapers underwear? No.
I don't know.
It depends. I mean, technically.
It depends. Yes! Feel right from my craft.
walked right into it. All the breadcrumbs into it.
That's the end of the podcast. We are Captain Awe.
We're all done. Oh man. And so they keep bickering. Even Sophia says, I'm tired of your fake accent, Blanche. Like, what is this, designing women?
Oh, is that actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Burn. So, this was the special burn episode. Like, it was just
this
like,
is the burn
we're
episode.
Getting it all out.
Yeah, just like, unleash it. I think maybe the girls were like, well, maybe the Golden Girls were like, the actresses were like, fighting, and they're like, okay, we need them to release anger. We're gonna write this episode for them so they can just argue and get it over with and just stop fighting. I don't know. That might be my theory.
I don't know, but also, I mean, the way they can work that out is ganging up and hating on designing women.
I want to see that fight.
Yeah.
Golden Girls versus designing women.
Yes.
Though, honestly, Anton. My money is on... It's going to be Dorothy versus Julia Sugarbaker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dorothy's.
They'll be the last two standing.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to fight just... Dorothy.
Oh, yeah. You don't.
God damn. No.
Designing golden women.
Julia Sugarbaker, though, she's angular and tough in a way that I don't know if any of them are.
I think she can, like, use her nails to just open up your stomach and, like, grab your... intestines and rip them out. I think that's
fair.
Design this move. Okay. And so so he's like, the therapist is like, all right, before we get to the nitty-gritty, quote unquote, tell me a little bit about yourselves and all that stuff. And and it's sort of like he sort of, because therapists don't allow, like, they really don't want you to fight. Mm-hmm. They want you to, I don't know.
Because it's awkward.
And I think therapists more are looking for what's really going on. You know, how you really feel, mm-hmm. you know, instead of the surface stuff. Because all that stuff was just really passive-aggressive shit. And it really isn't about that, the situation. And also... I don't know. Okay, I know I'm going on a rant. But also, every time the Golden Girls fight, it's because of a certain thing. Like a tangible, like you slept with a guy I like or something. Mm-hmm. And so this didn't seem like it fit the Golden Girls universe for me. Mm. Does that make sense?
Because it wasn't about a tangible thing. It was just about, like, broad ideas.
Just like, she's
emphasis
a bitch. She's dumb. She's always, like, selfish. And it wasn't about a certain thing.
No, I don't know if I agree. I mean, I think, like, they're roommates. Mm-hmm. They're roommates. And they're going to have... After a while, you're living with somebody, things get on your nerves. And it's just, like... And those are just, like... They're just addressing things that, mm-hmm. like, Blanche is
right.
sexually driven.
Right.
To the point of insanity. Rose is incurably stupid. Right. Like, Dorothy is very aggressive. Yeah.
So, like, those things really are what is going on. There's nothing else.
They're just kind of like they're immersed in each other. You know, like... Mm-hmm.
They're marinated in
yeah, they are.
Because when they do fight, I just feel like it's... You know, something, a situation happens, you know, and they're more mature and they get along really better. I feel like this episode is just, like, not in the universe of Golden Girls for
me. So it feels like a different world.
It feels like it's just bizarro Golden Girls and they're just not friends, you know, or something.
Interesting.
Anyway. Silver ladies.
Silver ladies. Oh, man.
It's funny. It's like we're seeing it through the eyes of the therapist as opposed to mm-hmm. through the eyes of each. Because I feel like when you're watching it, you're kind of just like one of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're looking at this kind of critical, kind of judgmental eye in right. this episode.
This guy is
the worst. That guy's
the
worst, man.
He just like walks around them like not oh. even, it doesn't
yeah.
even seem professional.
What kind of therapist just like stands up while everyone sits down? That's like super
what,
weird.
A man therapist?
A man therapist.
I know, portmanteaus in my life.
The rapist, more like it. Yeah. The rapist of our souls.
Yes,
that's what happened. They get into Dorothy's flashback. They call Blanche selfish, and then he's like, can you give us an example of how she's selfish?
They're all pretty selfish,
yeah,
honestly.
They're all very
selfish.
But
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, though, because it's more interesting to watch selfish people than it is to watch, totally passive people.
Right.
Even Rose isn't passive, really. I mean,
She feels bad and is to, like, you know, make herself feel better about the situation. And so Dorothy is, like, sick. She's on a couch, like, dying. Like, she's got a 104-degree fever or whatever.
And this is one of the flashbacks.
Yeah. This is a flashback. And so Blanche is... she wants to go on a double date with Larry and Mike. And so Blanche is the other date for the double date. She's supposed to go with Mike. And Dorothy can't go because she's sick. Right. Rightfully so. And Blanche is just out of control. Just like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. And like, I need to get laid. And Larry, I met him at a gas station. And it was love at first sight and all that crap. So Blanche is just... And you brought up, like, why doesn't Blanche just go with those two guys?
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's so mad this double date won't happen. I'm like, that seems like her dream scenario, that she could just take care of two guys.
Right.
Yeah. And I also just don't... What kind of guy, like, doesn't, like, all right, if my friend can't have a date, I'm not going to go out.
Like, yeah, he wasn't very committed to start with, but that's really the case.
It just seems like... He wants to have a four-way, or he's like, my friend is like a serial killer. Like, he'll burn down my house. Like, I can't leave him alone. And like, he has to come with us, basically, because he burned down that diner. That's where he went to jail.
That's
he burned down a Denny's in Arkansas, and that's why he was in prison.
You're dealing with a serial arsonist. I mean, honestly.
But this shows how desperate these ladies can be.
Right. So he met a dude at a gas station and his, like, ex-convict friend she's going on a date with. Like, that is sketchy as fuck. Like, I would not let those people in my house. sorry if you're an ex-convict listening to this.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're an arsonist and you're listening to this, get your life together.
Yeah. it together now.
Yeah. Ex-con is a very broad brush.
Yeah, it is.
But like, if you've burned down a Denny's because you're pissed at your date, like, clearly that's not our problem. Like, clearly those are your own issues.
Yeah, but he was in it to win it. He went on a date with Dorothy. He, like, groped her through her vapor rub.
Oh,
so, like, through that steam machine, she was, like, groping, and she was, like, going in and out of consciousness. It seems really, like...
seems a little rapey.
It seems rapey. Yeah. And that Blanche allowed this to happen. And
no, Blanche
perhaps
didn't give a shit.
Sophia was also maybe there watching. Also, Rose. Where's Rose?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
She could have gone on a date with that ex-convict? Like, I mean, it just seemed out of whack. But I'm sure Blanche got laid. She got Larry. All was good.
I'm sure Dorothy and the arsonist...
Mm-hmm.
Had some vapor of sex.
Also, maybe Sophia knew that a date was coming and she wanted to see what Dorothy would look like wasted and sick on a date. Because she was getting her drunk. She was giving her hot toddies.
Yeah, she
like,
was.
Left
like,
and right.
Whose mother gives them hot toddies when they're sick? I mean, I don't mean to be judgmental. I'm just saying, like, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it really wasn't even hot toddies. It was just, like, leftover Italian alcohol. It was, like, amaretto and Sambuca.
Sambuca's Italian?
Yeah.
It sounds, like, South American to me. Like, Sambuca!
I think it's Italian. Like, because they serve it with, like espresso beans and stuff like that.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so just, like... I'm surprised there wasn't just, like, some sherry in there, or just, like, Chianti, or something like that.
A splash of limoncello.
Yeah.
This is just Dorothy's, like, way to get wasted. And so, they're back in the office, and they keep fighting. They're calling each other. The psychiatrist does no damage control whatsoever. He just lets them, like, bicker. That's what pissed me off. It's like he's into this, like, it's like Jerry Springer almost, where, like, he's not, like, helping you. He's just
judging you.
Judging yeah. you and, like, verbally, like, letting you talk you. Shit about the other person.
Yeah.
It's not,
like,
help.
He is like Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
In that he was the mayor of Cincinnati.
Yes. That is a true statement.
He kind of looked like him too, like kind of all scruffy looking. And
have you seen the This American Life episode, or listened to the This American Life episode about Jerry Springer? And it makes you feel like, oh my god, this guy could, like, really save us. And then
didn't he write a check to a prostitute?
He did, and that was his downfall. but then like, he wrote a check to a prostitute, but then he was so open about it that even, like, nuns were sending stones to, like, the city council, being like, he who cast the first stone, blah blah blah, like, they were, like, coming to his aid because he was so open. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Your heart goes out to him.
Your heart goes out to him.
So maybe he's more like, he reminds me, he looks kind of like the Scrooge duck from DuckTales. Aww. To me.
Yeah.
It's a duck world.
Like, DuckTales. He sort of looked like either that or like an old cat to me. Maybe a cat that's been through, you know, the ringer and...
Been through the shit.
Yeah. He looked like an old therapist cat.
I think your Scrooge McDuck theory is pretty good.
Okay,
good. I think there's like a tinge of wealthiness in there. Like, he's swum through some gold coins.
Yes. He's definitely not like a... You know, buying 99 cent dollar, 99 cent loaves of bread.
There you go. Yeah. He's going at $6.
Oh, well, yeah, he's going to Sprouts.
9 grain.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they go to Rose's flashback, and it's the one where Rose accidentally puts Dorothy's looking for a job ad in the personals, and it's very vaguely worded.
Well, it was very specifically worded that she'll do anything for $8 an hour.
Yeah, which sounds so sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently she put her address in because...
That's super sketch.
Yeah.
Like,
because all these people are showing up to their house and they're like, all right, what are you going to do for $8?
Right.
And this is the part I remember, like, this came out in 87. I don't think I remember this from being 4. Which was what I was in the 80s. I think that I saw this as a rerun probably in the early 90s.
Some of you were like 9.
Yeah, I think I was like 10 or so, and I remember seeing, like, being like, oh, okay. Like, I understood the anything for $8.
There was a prostitution element of this.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all saw Pretty Woman.
Yeah. Didn't we?
Yeah. Or heard about it.
Yeah,
or
exactly. Someone's
like, can't watch Pretty Woman because it's about prostitution.
Exactly.
Right. And
it's
so
it's about true love, Anthony.
it's about true
Jason
love.
Alexander getting some slaps in.
I know, because that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Right. It's about culottes.
I always feel like Richard here because guys never want to kiss me.
Are you calling Julia Roberts a man?
Yeah. In my situation, they just want a bone. No kissing.
Straight to business. It's too personal, I think.
It's too personal. And I have to pay them thousands of dollars and give them makeovers. The concierge gives them makeovers. But
he's a good guy to have in the corner.
Yeah. Hector Elizondo.
He gave
Mexican.
The magical Mexican.
Yeah. He gives your niece makeovers.
Right. Because everyone knows that if you... your hotel will give a prostitute a makeover if you just ask nicely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all about else. Yeah, it's all about the delivery.
Yeah.
How you ask.
It was weird. Like, I don't know if she put her ad... I think she put her address in the ad, or Rose gave those guys the address. Because she was like, 6 people called and they want to, like, I really didn't understand how they got a hold of the address.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think back then, though, I think, like, we didn't have Google Maps. We didn't have, like, all the maps. So I think it was much harder to, like, find someone's address. I think if you could just put your address on things, so people would be like, but all right, I will never find this. I'll have to use a paper map.
But so, if you're a pervert, I think you're very efficient at maps and addresses.
Well, now, do we know what their address is? Do we know what street they lived on?
It's 31... Is it
6151 East Richmond? I know it's Richmond.
It's Richmond... I think it's 3151.
Something like
East
that.
East Richmond beautiful. Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a
in what city?
Miami.
We think it was Miami.
It's Miami.
Or as they say, or as they say here in Arizona, Miami.
Miami.
That's what they say in Oklahoma too. There's a Miami.
Yeah, there's a Miami right next to the globe here.
I don't know. It's not good.
Not good.
Is it Mexicans that say that or just everybody?
It's like country people.
I don't think the Mexicans get
Miami. Like that?
What's that? I don't think Mexicans get a voice in the place naming. It's like, have you ever seen or heard of the offensive place names?
Oh, what is
it? There are several in New Mexico and Arizona that are very offensive toward Mexican and Mexican Americans. So they don't get it. When we decide to name something, we don't consult the minorities.
Right.
We're just like, this is now Squaw Peak.
This is Chink Road.
There are so many. I'm sure there is.
There's a few Chink Roads out there.
Are you talking about the one in Montana or Wyoming?
I think like Alabama, but there's like 50 of them down there.
It's true. They're all intersecting.
South Chink Road, North Chink Road. Can't keep track in Alabama. Careful, guys. But okay, all these guys that show up are like bald, creepy dudes.
One with a predilection for Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah. He was like Dorothy. Like, she put her name on there, apparently. Dorothy, and he wants to be Toto. So he wants to dress like a dog.
I
want to
ride in your basket.
Yeah, ride in your basket that all day long. Basket, aka your pussy. And yeah, it's. I wanna skip down your yellow brick road and take you home. I wanna turn your movie into color. There you go.
I wanna interact with your scarecrow.
All these guys, even one guy runs in with $8, just like runs in, like, the $8 in front of his face, like, all right, where are you? Let's get it done. Like,
he's got his deposit ready.
Right.
I mean, $8 in 1987 ain't too bad. I was going to say, not for sex work, but for yard work. It's pretty good.
So that would be like $20 today.
I don't know how it works.
Right. I don't know. Whoa, what about Darmux? What was that, the Greek currency that?
Drachma.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Drachma. Yeah, that was a currency in Greece back in the day, but I think it changed.
Well, I think it's just the euro now.
Yeah.
Now it's just the euro, so they adapted the euro.
And it's stronger than our dollar, so watch out.
Oh, the euro is?
We're going to have to be working for them for euro an hour, yeah.
For the Greeks? I thought their
drachma.
Economy was poopy.
For the European Union.
For European Union.
Yeah, okay. No, their economy does suck. Yeah. But they still have a stronger dollar than we do.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They just have less of them.
Yes.
Europe will own us. That's what you should take away from this podcast.
Oh my gosh. So, one coin is worth one drachma, and that was 66.5 grains. That's how they did it.
Oh,
a drachma was grains of rice, I guess.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. Super, super ancient.
Yeah. Cool. All right. These guys. Okay. So also there was a priest in this mix.
Oh, that priest is picking up food. Poor guy.
Yeah, and Dorothy just screams at him because that's her instinct when she sees a priest just scream.
There's a lot of screaming at priests in this series.
I just saw the movie Spotlight. I totally get it.
Oh man.
I'm saving that movie for when I. I'm in the mood to be sad.
I have to say, if you see it though, it's actually not that. I found it very invigorating.
Okay.
They don't focus on the sad. They really, like, for me as a journalist, they really kind of focused on the journalism of it and, like, when do you It's like when you're sitting on something really big and really important, when do you bring it out? When do you let people be aware of it? Because, you know, it's sort of like, it's always going to be important, but if you hit it at the right moment, it could create a cultural shift. And if you don't hit it at the right moment, it might not. It might get buried. Yeah. It's a question of when you do that.
So it's kind of like All the President's Men.
It is. Okay. It's sort of like a modern day version of that with a lot of Mark Ruffalo running, which is never bad.
That's
never bad.
No, you've sold me on this movie.
Yeah. I was thinking of seeing it again today.
For some more Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. Just to sneak a beer in and watch it. Yeah.
Yay.
I saw The Avengers because Mark Ruffalo was in it. And I was like, I didn't even know what character he was until an hour in. I go, oh, I guess he's the Hulk.
I just want to watch like a movie where it's just Mark Ruffalo.
Do you find him hot too?
I do. I think he's very attractive. He's got this like nerd when he was in high school and then just like got really cute kind of deal about him.
That's who I go for apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I like people who stay nerds into way all into their late 70s.
Like lifelong nerds.
Yeah. He kind of looks like the hot version of Gale from Breaking Bad.
Oh,
which one was Gale?
Gale was the
other guys who are working with him, right?
Yeah. He was the other chef. Yeah. He was so nerdy.
Oh.
Kind of has that same quality though.
Mm-hmm.
Someone recently in my sphere was talking about her like someone she dated who looked like Gale. And was describing it as if it were a good thing. And I was like, that's great.
No, I
get it, though.
I mean, I'm not saying that...
It's a very likable character.
I'm not saying that Gale is not a good thing. I don't want any angry letters or anything. I'm just saying that Mark Ruffalo is the hotter version of Gale.
Oh, man. All right. And so that scene ends, and it's almost like... okay, well, Rose... is like, at least we learned how to make souvlaki. So they got... all these Greek guys were like, well, we can't fuck. We'll cook for you, I guess.
Because that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When guys get rebuffed, they just make you a meal.
Blue balls causes you to cook, basically.
Aww.
You just eat.
They're new to this country. They have nothing else to do.
Right, exactly. They just want some attention. They want to be useful.
Yeah.
Or,
I mean, at the very least, I mean, if you can't fuck somebody, you can cook for them. That's pretty great.
That's pretty good. You get to share a meal.
Well, that's how women are raised.
Right. Yes. Burn on society.
Well, yeah, burn.
Burn society.
For this special burn episode. Because this episode is all about, like, just getting all the shit out,
we're
right?
getting it all out this time around.
Yeah.
Or souvlaki is Greek for, also slang Greek for giant orgy.
Oh.
Greek orgy.
I'm so hungry.
It's an orgy of marinated chicken and marinade.
Oh, this is kind of, that's the only kind of orgy I can really get behind as a participant. Like,
I'd be way up in the orgy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
just give me some of orgy. that yogurt sauce and then I'm fine.
Mm.
some
yogurt. Some
tzatziki.
Yeah. some hummus.
If you think about it, like, most sauces are basically orgies.
I want to lick your grape leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All up in your dolma. Yeah.
Souvlaki bukkake. Okay. So then they're back. They're back in the office and they start like arguing about, they just start arguing until it escalates to just everyone is just yelling at each other and then it cuts to commercial. Like so I don't know, it just didn't seem like genuine to me at that point. And so
their arguing didn't seem genuine?
Yeah, I think like, I don't know, something else was going on, you know, like they didn't really talk about.
Mm.
Like maybe, I don't know. I can't fathom what it was.
Mm.
But I was just like, they didn't get to the real meat. I think of improvs, like it's just surface garble. They didn't get to
like we were talking about the relationship.
Yeah. Like they didn't really talk about, like, I don't think they really mention what was really going on. Like maybe Sophia is like maybe Dorothy's a drunk. I don't know. And they mentioned
Dorothy seems like she could be.
Yeah.
I feel like Dorothy feels like she could just, like, pack it away.
Yeah, I think she could, you know, I think she could get away. She's tall, no one can smell her breath, you know. So... Tall people, you're lucky if you're an alcoholic.
You can be alcoholic.
Yeah.
I just rubbed my hands together.
Like a praying mantis.
On a oral podcast.
Yeah. Well, we're all here to witness it.
Been doing this for a year and a half, and that's what I went to.
That's so cute.
Nothing like a gesticulation to really make your point.
Oh, man. Okay, so then they do Dorothy's flashback, Dorothy's laying in bed. She's, like, reading a book, a textbook. And
a textbook. Was she getting to school?
Yeah, she was having her education test. That's what they called it.
The learning annex?
Yeah, I guess. The learning annex. Well, yeah. Like, it's a very broad education test for a race that she's going to get as a substitute teacher. I don't know what... Yeah, so this is happening. And so Blanche and Rose are both scared, and they want Dorothy's comfort because they watched the movie Aliens, which back then, I guess, was a super scary movie. Today? No, not so much.
I like
much.
How they jump to belittling Sigourney Weaver's looks.
Yeah!
Right away, first thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. Did a man write this episode? Probably.
Probably. Yeah. Probably the therapist wrote this episode.
The therapist himself. Jeff McScrooge wrote this.
He wrote it with his cock.
Oh, man.
So, but true.
The rapist did it. All of this. And so, but then Sophia comes into the mix. She has to put in her 3 cents about... Oh, she comes in. She's like, I want to see all your hands above the blankets now. Because she's like, she thinks that... Did you catch that part?
I did not catch that part.
She comes in and she's like, I want to see 6 hands above the blanket right now. And they just stare at her. Like... I was like, dang.
That is raunchy. Oh, wow.
That is raunchy. Like, they're in there, you know, flicking stuff around and shit. But...
But maybe, I mean, also maybe she's just like, she wants to see hands, but she wants to make sure hands don't have guns. Because she's from Sicily.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She doesn't want to get...
People sleep with guns.
But, like...
Yeah, biblically.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. She kicks Blanche and Rose out, you know. Well, Sophia kicks them out. She's like, you gotta go. And then when they get to the therapist, back to forward flash, like, he's like, yeah, Dorothy was right. And I think she could have, like, hung out with them 10 minutes, calmed them down, you know, then sent them their way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Then the therapist, then they talk about Sophia, and they're like...
But he was a grown woman. He was like a grown women that are, like, afraid of a movie.
That seemed very strained.
Yeah.
I can see, like, Rose getting afraid.
Yeah, well, Rose is, like, she's sort of like Rose Kennedy. Like, we're not talking about her, like, her actual, like, mental disability that's happening, right? Yeah. We're just, like, glossing over it.
Right.
But Blanche, I mean, you know, Blanche has seen some shit. Like, right. There's no way Blanche is going to be scared of an alien popping out of someone's stomach. Like, she's seen worse
she's
than
probably
that.
She's probably inviting that into her bedroom.
She was probably like
she's already experimented with that.
Like, she was probably turned on by that alien thing.
Yeah, this little baby arm coming out.
Yeah, she's like, that kind of looks like a penis, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, tentacle porn.
Yeah, tentacle porn. What is the Japanese word for that? Is that manga?
Manga? Tentacle porn?
I don't know.
Manga is tentacle porn.
Let's just decide it's Hello Kitty. And,
Hello Kitty,
and leave it there.
Right. And so, yeah, that was really weird. And then there was this whole thing about the neighbors being aliens, like, and then them eating dogs.
Oh, yeah, it was a great little racist moment.
Yeah, where they're like, the Chungs. Not that I haven't been racist on this podcast against Asians, but they were... But I'll admit to that earlier, this being 15 minutes ago, but they're like, the Chungs are not aliens, just call them the Chungs, and that's fine. And then Sophia's like, no, they eat dogs. I never see a dog pee in their yard. And then...
No, they're talking about Alf. He eats cats.
Right. So, right. Yeah, right. So...
I learned that today from watching, and listening to NPR.
Is Alf, like, the opposite of Asian?
No, he's just an alien.
Right.
And they were talking about the word alien, which you don't use anymore.
So was this an Alf reference, maybe? Like, they were trying to fit an Alf joke in there somewhere?
It seems fitting. It was 1987.
Yeah. Right. I don't know when Alf was big, but I'm trying to figure it. There was no word. Tentacle erotica is just a term.
Tentacle erotica.
Yeah.
Tentacle erotica.
Shakushu Gaukan, maybe. So,
there you go. Beautiful. And so they're back in the office, and then she's perfect, you know, like she was in the right, but she's just perfect. She lords it over us. She's always trying to make us like be like her and shit. And then Sophia's like, well, you guys, I'm the glue that keeps all this shit together. And so they're like, they go into Sophia's flashback.
Which is true, yeah.
That's my Wayne's World flashback reference. So they go to Sophia's flashback, and it's like, Sophia, like, everybody has a problem. Like Rose, her boss made a pass on her. He threw her on the couch and made out with her.
So he totally, you know, I mean, that's not... He sexually abused her.
Right, he sexually abused her, and so...
Or as we say in 1987, a pass.
Yeah, a pass. He, like, touched my boobs and kissed me. Yeah, is that a pass? And so, yeah, it is. And so it was weird that, like... I don't know, that it was like a counseling center, and this guy is like, I guess all men who work at counseling centers in this episode are just fucking assholes. Just period. If that's what we get from this episode, that should be it. And so,
yeah, all the men are assholes except for Blanche. No. I mean Dorothy.
Dorothy, yay. And so Blanche's guy, she was dating this guy, and she saw him with another woman. And then Dorothy's problem is that she can't decide what to eat. But Sophia goes into the story about pepperoni, this woman who's, she made a reference to Brigitte Nielsen's tits. She's like, picture it, Sicily, 1922. This woman is like... trying to get home. What was the story about?
Something about pepperoni.
Pepperoni.
She's trying to get food for her family, right?
Yeah. And then she loses it in this Rolls Royce car accident. I didn't even know Rolls Royce were back in Italy back in 1922. Who knows?
The mob can get anything.
The mob. Anything.
Maybe it's like Cuba. Like how Cuba has like 1950s cars.
There you go.
Like all Sicily has is Rolls Royces.
That seems totally reasonable.
Right. But at the end, she helps everyone out with her pepperoni story, which didn't make sense for me in regards of Rose's issue, because she's like, what I got from that story was that I should make a bad situation into a good one, and I'm going to tell him off. I'm going to tell my boss off. And I'm like, how did you get that from that story? Like, that didn't check out for me. Anyway, so... they're back in the office, and they're flash forward back. And so, therapist is like, all right, I've heard enough. You guys are incompatible. Like, he's like, I cannot fix this. I've known you 20 minutes.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
What, Siri?
She didn't come with me. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Also, two couches. No, it was a couch and then two seats and four people. This episode is called Three on a Couch. I'm like...
So wrong.
So yeah. Wrong.
Wrong on multiple levels.
Yeah. Just, oh, man. It was two on a couch.
Yeah. It was a love seat.
It was a love seat. It was a love, little cushiony couch. Also, okay, so this guy is a total douche. Dr. Ashley's like, you know, you guys have to move out. Like, that's your...
I've known you for 20 minutes.
It boggled my mind. This therapist did not try at all, like, to save their friendship. I, like, if a couple comes in with marriage problems, he's going to be like, guess what? It's not going to work. Like, that's all he says.
Maybe he has some kind of connection with a moving company. Like,
maybe I can refer you company.
Yeah, I bet that was like the next scene. He was like, come on, here, I've got this coupon for U-Haul. No pressure.
That's how he makes his Doug McScrooge money. Is, I know. The moving company.
You gotta swim in those, gold
coins.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Those Susan B. Anthony's somehow.
He just spray paint them gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you get to save gold.
Maybe he's also like a realtor as well. He's like, you guys need some new housing? I can help you find a new place.
Right. Like, that wasn't even a therapist's office. It was like a realtor's office.
Yeah.
It's the Center for Moving and Arresting. It's like a sign. Like, basically, he's like, yeah, like, it was like covered up by a bush, and then all of a sudden they trim it, and you see it.
Oh man. Okay, and so they're in the kitchen. They're like disappointed in what happened, obviously, and they're like, they're like, all right, well, maybe we should just pack tomorrow.
Oh yeah. Because a man said so.
Yeah,
because
a man told them.
A man who just has known us for 20 minutes.
Right. He just wanted to fuck his secretary. Get us out of there. He's like, I can't stand looking at you. Like, just fucking, you know, it was just terrible. Like, Sophia, and you said it right, Sophia was a way better therapist than he was. Because she was like, it's not for me to say. And then, right off the bat, that's what a therapist does. Therapist just stays out of it, you know?
Because the truth is, if you don't make the decision yourself, you don't really own it.
Yeah, right? Kidding.
This idea that you're being told. If you do what you're told, then you're just resentful, or there's no way you could take ownership of it.
Right. And the way he mediated it, everything was just wrong. Just talk shit about each other, and then I'll tell you that it's wrong. And then I'll give you a solution. When a therapist never gives you a solution, a therapist lets you discover it. Just like you said, I want to shoot that guy in the head. Like, sorry. Okay, so Sophia saves the day. Yay! She's like, picture it, Miami, 1987, two women who live, love, laugh, all that shit, target signs.
I'm picturing.
And then, and so she's wonderful, like, and they just needed Sophia. And also Sophia would be out on the fucking street, too. Of course she wants to stay. And so...
She knows what's up.
she knows who butters her bread.
Tammy Faye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Tammy Faye reference.
There are so many great dated references in this one. Tammy Faye and the word Oriental.
Oriental.
Oh, Oriental. Yeah. Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
this aliens. Is definitely not anytime recent.
No.
This is clearly almost 20 years ago.
The Tammy Faye reference, for the listeners, it was, Blanche is trying to get Dorothy out of the bed and like, you're healed! And then Sophia's like, just because you put your makeup on with a butter knife doesn't mean you're Tammy Faye.
Yes.
So great. Biggest laugh, I think, of the whole episode.
I know.
Yeah, they got an applause break.
Have you seen the Tammy Faye Baker, like a biopic? Well, it's not a biopic, I don't know. It's one of those things where they talk about.
Like a dramatization.
No, it's not. It's a documentary.
Okay.
And it's narrated by RuPaul.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
He's like, look at her makeup. So beautiful. Did you see it?
Oh, it was good. It was good. It made you like her. And she's like, you know, I'm only addicted to Diet Coke, so that's not too bad. And you're like, I love you, Little Terry fan. I'm the same way. We're the same person.
I'm addicted to Diet Coke. Aww. And Jesus.
I know.
Her son is gay.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but he's in the closet.
Oh, wow.
And he's like a drug addict. Anyway.
Now I'm just sad.
That's all right. I'm addicted to Diet Coke, not like my son, who's addicted to everything.
And my husband, who embezzled lots of money.
Did they mention his son in the...
They probably did. It's been a long time.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it in a while. But you come out of that movie kind of like hating her husband and loving her.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to root for Tammy.
Is she not living? I don't think she or Jim Baker are living.
Oh, I think they're both living. I think Jim Baker is hawking... he's hawking, like, food that will last 50 years, like freeze-dried food. Because NPR just did a thing where they listened. Okay. They tried the food and it was disgusting.
Oh, gross.
It's like astronaut food.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I think Tammy Faye is... she's still doing it. She's still kicking. Oh, yeah, I'm lying. She died in 2007.
Really? She died of cancer, I think.
Okay.
Right?
I really thought she was still alive.
Well, Jim Baker's still alive. Okay.
Yeah, I think Jim Baker, you know, it's like, I don't know. The frontiersman died in 1898, but that's not who we're talking about.
Or are we?
Yeah, exactly. Frontiersman for Jesus.
And for freeze-dried food.
Exactly. Same thing.
The last frontiersman. And so...
He's 75.
75.
Yeah.
So I live Tammy Faye. So then they decide that food is the solution. They're just gonna eat. I guess they were hungry the whole time. And so, cause you get hangry and you just bicker. They should have donuts. They should have something before they went to the therapist's office.
Yeah, they should have gone through the whole checklist. Have you been, are you tired? Or have you eaten? Are you thirsty?
Exactly.
They like just got up, didn't eat breakfast, like drove to the therapist's office, starving, you know, and yeah, they did not know. Okay, so they're like, food's gonna solve everything, yay. Cheesecake, chocolate syrup. Blanche is like, I'm gonna go get my whipped cream. And then she's like, and then Sophia's like, I'm going to take a picture of this. And then she's like, well, I have a Polaroid. I'll get mine. It's under the bed. I need to get my whipped cream anyway. Bum, bum,
bum, ba-da. And then we just gloss over the fact that everyone's going to get like sick from the rancid whipped cream under the bed.
Yeah.
Old whipped cream. Yeah.
My stripper name.
Maybe it's old whipped cream. Maybe they're just going to do whippets. Like, because they could still do the whippets.
Yeah. This is the innocent time before we knew about whippets.
Right. This was. But who knows? Maybe Blanche got it right. She's had a lot of whipped cream experience.
They bonded over whippets. That's what brought them together.
Something's going to bring you together.
Whippets saved the day. All right.
I think there was an episode of the Golden Girls where they sang Whip It Good. I do remember.
Are they?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Or either they did or somebody else did.
When Blanche is wearing S&M, you must whip it.
Exactly. She always is under her clothing.
Right. Though she doesn't wear underwear, but
I know.
Her diaper is leather.
Isn't one of the lines of Whip It? It's not too late.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It's not too late.
It's not too late.
to whip it.
The Del Rubio triplets.
Ooh.
That's... Oh my God. Yeah, I found it. I found the whippet. Yes. Yes, okay. They perform.
Right. Yay.
Yes.
Right.
So it's real.
So it's real.
Good.
All right. I think we did it, guys.
Yay!
All right. And so... as we do at the end of every episode, you can plug anything you'd like, Stina, or any shows that you have coming up to after Wednesday next week.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what I have coming up, but I've got a bunch of stuff in general at the Torch Theater.
Ooh.
So I'm in a team called Purple Crayons.
Yeah, I love them.
Oh, thank you. I'm in a team called Adult Bakery.
Yeah.
Yay.
And I am also in a team called For a Good Time Call.
For a Good Time Call.
Yay. Yay.
So we have shows every once in a while, or I would say probably once or twice a month, but... It's every third. It's probably on Thursday, a Friday, or a Saturday. You can always find it at the Torch. I think it's at thetorch.com, but make sure you spell it torchtheater.com. Make sure you spell it with the R-E,
the
not the E.
The fancy way.
The fancy way.
Yes.
Exactly. No less.
Yay. Oh, fantastic. And people can find you at Stina Sieg, S-I-E-G.
Yeah, it's at stinasieg.com. Yeah. So S-T-I-N-A. SIEG.com.
Fantastic!
Yay.
And Genevieve, what do you have after December 9th?
Oh, well, basically, the thing I'd probably like to promote the most is I'm putting together a comedy festival in downtown Phoenix called Bird City Comedy Festival.
What?
Yay.
Take place in April 2016. We have a website, we have a Facebook, we have a Twitter at Bird City Comedy. So keep up with that and see what's going on. Submit for your comic and are funny. And, yep.
Don't submit if you're not funny.
Yeah. And you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Genevieve Rice, which I'm not going to spell for you. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, too bad. If you're not spelled Genevieve... Then you're just a...
You shut out in the cold.
Shut out in the cold. And I am at Anthony DeSimito on Twitter and Instagram. And shows after December 9th. I don't have a lot going on booked. But I'll be at The Store's Objection December 26th. Yay!
Yay!
Yeah, I guess I'm taking some time off to... make people presents and stuff.
And so, thanks, Anthony.
Yay! And so, you guys, along with our own individual Twitters, our podcast also has a Twitter. Is at Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP, and also on Instagram, at TIFBAP. And you can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, or any other platform you use to listen to us today. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/ Thank You For Being a Podcast. You guys, the next episode is season 3, episode 12, and it's titled A Charlie's Buddy. So it's all about Rose. Yay! And so thank you guys for listening, and have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken. Go!